All right, Revelation chapter number 13 tonight. Book of Revelation chapter number 13. We're going to take a couple of weeks, maybe two, maybe three. I don't know at this juncture. I know it's going to be more than one because I'm not going to finish it all in this one message. We're not really going to deal with the Scripture. I'm going to read from the Scripture here, the mount that's dealing with the Antichrist. And then we're going to talk about his personage. We're going to talk about him in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. As you look at the Antichrist and you look at Christ, they are the antithesis of each other. They are the exact opposites. It's as if Satan was trying to counterfeit Christ and get as opposite as he could from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he accomplishes it very well. You know, we know that just as God uses men to accomplish his objectives, Satan uses men also. And this 13th chapter is a good example of this truth. And we're going to meet two men, both who are referred to as beasts in this chapter. The first one is referred to as the beast from the sea, mentioned in these verses 1 through 10. And he's the coming world dictator, the tribulation period, the one that we call the Antichrist. He's the one we refer to as the Antichrist. And then the second man we're going to find is the beast from the earth. We'll meet him in a later message, and he'll be the world acclaimed and accepted religious leader, and we refer to him as the false prophet. So don't get the two mixed up. You got the Antichrist and you got the false prophet. You got the beast from the sea, the beast from the earth. They're two different people. But let's take a look at the first 10 verses here. It says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. Upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Now who's the dragon? That's Satan, isn't it? We see that his power comes from Satan. And the verse number 3 says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. All the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast." That's Satan worship, is what that is. Okay. "And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto him?" And who's like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in the heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations." Now when it says that he was given power to overcome the saints, that's power on the earth to overcome them here. Of course, we know that Jesus in our lives overcomes all that Satan has. So don't get that confused. No, because he's not really overcoming them. He's just really bringing them to a point of martyrdom and sending them on to their eternal reward in Christ. And in verse 8, it says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. And he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." And so we'll leave off reading there tonight. We want to see that tonight. I want you to give you an overview of the Antichrist. And we're going to dig into the verses of this these first 10 verses in a later message. But when we look throughout the Word of God, we find that the title, the Antichrist, is really not a specific title. It's a title that we've given to this person because of what he encompasses. The closest that we come to that title is in 1 John chapter number 2 in verse 18. Look at 1 John chapter number 2. And we see here that it's not specifically speaking of the Antichrist, but really the spirit of Antichrist. In 1 John 2 and verse number 18, it says here, And little children, it is the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, and even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, the Antichrist is given that title because he is the embodiment of the spirit of Antichrist that John described in 1 John chapter number 2 in verse number 22. Look at there what he says. But who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. The reason why we call the Antichrist is because that's exactly what he will do. He will be worse than anybody else ever has. He will deny the Father and deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 3. Really, the Apostle John is the only one that uses the term Antichrist. Here in 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 3, and he says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." And so the spirit of Antichrist has been with us since the days of the apostle, and it will continue to be with us, and I believe it's growing. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But it will increase, I believe, until the time that such as this man of sin, the son of perdition, the one that we call the Antichrist, will be revealed in the tribulation period. Now, we saw in our passage of Scripture where the Antichrist will be energized by Satan's power. And this has happened before, as we're also told that Judas Iscariot, remember, was under Satan's control. Remember where it said over in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 3, that says that then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Satan actually entered the body of Judas Iscariot. And I believe that Satan will be embodied in the Antichrist also. The Antichrist will be a counterfeit of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will come with supposedly the answer for folks on the earth at that time. People are looking for somebody who's got the answer. Who's got the answer to the ills of our economy? Who's got the answer to all that's wrong with what's going on in the world? Well, the Antichrist is going to supposedly have the answer. Of course, we know that the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, don't we? And we see that when Jesus and the Antichrist are compared, we find that they are the opposite of each other in both their character and in their conduct. And so let's take a look tonight at the contrast between these two individuals, between Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Antichrist. First of all, we see the contrast between their ancestries. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ came where? He came from heaven. Amen? Jesus Christ came from heaven. It says in John 6:38, Jesus said Himself, He says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." Well, where does Antichrist come from? Well, according to our passage here in Revelation chapter number 13, in verse number 1, it says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea." Now, what in the world does that mean? The fact that this beast rises out of the sea is taken by many to indicate that he comes from the great mass of humanity, namely the Gentile powers of the world. Some have taken it that specifically the wording there refers to that he's going to be coming from an area around the Mediterranean Sea, that the beast will arise from one of the countries that borders the Mediterranean Sea. And it's possible and even probable that both of these analyses are true. We know that the Bible says in Isaiah 57 verse 20, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." And oftentimes the sea is referred to as being the Gentile nations. And so I believe that this is referring to the fact that he will come from the massive humanity. He will be possibly from the Mediterranean area. Now, so we see the ancestry. Also, the Lord Jesus, we know, is the Son of God. That's his ancestry. He's the Son of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, when the angel appeared unto Mary,
There in Luke 1:35, he told Mary, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, right? And so Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Antichrist, though, on the other hand, if you'll turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, in fact, I'd like for you to go ahead and mark your place there in 2 Thessalonians, because I'm going to be referring, if you'll move there, and also I'll have you turn in a moment to the book of Daniel, and I want you to mark there, because we're going to kind of be flipping through several chapters in the book of Daniel, and also we'll be taking a look at some verses here in 2 Thessalonians that refer to this one that we call the Antichrist. But we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 3, we find that the Antichrist is called the Son of Perdition. Look at verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the Son of Perdition. Now, perdition means utter ruin or loss. It can refer to loss, whether it's physical, spiritual, or eternal. It just talks about utter ruin and utter loss. And so, he's called the Son of Perdition. And so, this is the contrast between their ancestries. The second thing that we want to take a look at is the contrast between their attributes. The contrast between their attributes. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. Amen. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But Antichrist is a liar. Okay? Jesus Christ is the truth. Antichrist is going to be a liar. No words of guile were ever spoken out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, friend. These words that we have in our Bible are the words of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the whole book, not just those that are outlined in red. This whole book is about Him and it's from Him through the Holy Spirit of God that God used the men of God to pen the Scriptures for us. But listen, every bit of the Word of God, every word of God is true, as the way the Bible puts it. The Word of God is true. Jesus Christ Himself is truth. But Antichrist, you can't believe a word He says. He's a liar. Look at 2 Thessalonians there, chapter number 2 and verse number 11. We know that God's going to send strong delusion. And that's what it says here. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, where's that lie going to come from? It's going to come from the Antichrist. That's where it's going to come from. We just read in 1 John 2:22 where it said, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist and that denieth the Father and the Son. Remember when Jesus was walking on the earth and he saw some Jews and he was conversing with them and he told them that they were of their father the devil? Antichrist is of the devil. We know that the devil is a liar. Listen to what John 8:44 says. It says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Listen, if Satan is behind the Antichrist, and he is, then he's going to be a liar. Jesus Christ is the truth. The Antichrist is a liar. Then we see a second thing, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Holy One. Mark 1 and verse number 24. Remember these demons spoke, they say, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Even the demons recognize that Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God. And then we know that the Antichrist, though, is spoken of here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and look at verse number 8. He's spoken of as being the lawless one. It says here, and let's back up to verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who letteth now will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. He's called that wicked, till that wicked be revealed. Now, that wicked means lawless, or not subject to the law. So Antichrist is the lawless one. Jesus Christ kept the law in its entirety, didn't he? That's what made him the Holy One. He fulfilled the law. But Antichrist is the lawless one. Now, we know also, thirdly, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the man of sorrows. Isaiah spoke of this in Isaiah 53 in verse number 3. He said he is despised. This is a prophecy related to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Why is he a man of sorrows? He took our sorrow, didn't he? He bore our sin. He bore our shame. He didn't deserve any of that, but he took it on our account. He was a man of sorrows, but Antichrist is the man of sin. Look at 2 Thessalonians there, chapter number 2, verse number 3 and 4. It says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition," notice this in verse 4, "who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And so we see here, of all the titles given to this one that we call the Antichrist, I believe that the one used here by Paul, the man of sin, is the most descriptive, because he will be the embodiment of all the sinful people who have ever lived. Look at verse number 4, what it says. It says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is going to be a man of sin, no doubt. And so we see the contrast, first of all, between their ancestries, the contrast between their attributes. Thirdly, we see the contrast between their authority. The contrast between their authority. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ came in the name of His Father, didn't He? That's what He said in John 5, verse 43. He says, "I am come in the name, in my Father's name, and ye receive me not." He came in His Father's name. But in that same verse, in John 5, verse 43, in the latter part of the verse, He talked about those who would not receive Him, but they would receive another that came in His own name. Listen to John 5:43b. He says, "If another shall come in His own name, him will ye receive." Listen, Antichrist will come in His own name. And this was, we know that these folks that call themselves messiahs, that they are Antichrist also. We've seen many of them in days past. There are some that are still around today. But some have accepted false messiahs, even from the point that the true Messiah came. It's spoken about in Acts chapter number 5. Look at Acts chapter number 5 for just a moment. Just hold your place there in Thessalonians. We'll probably be back there in a little bit. But Acts chapter number 5, we see here spoken of in the early church. There were, as the church was getting established, that and they were preaching the name of Jesus Christ. It says here in Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 36. Let's back up to verse number 34. "Then stood there one up in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space." Okay, they've got the apostles imprisoned here, trying to determine what to do with them. And Gamaliel here is addressing this group of folks that are determining what to do with these men of God. It says there in verse 35, "And said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught." No doubt this Theudas had shown himself, tried to lift himself up as being the Messiah of some sort. Look at verse 37. "After this, a man rose up of Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. So here a couple of men are mentioned who were tried to be somebody. They tried to be a Messiah or a Christ themselves. And we know that these men have continued to crop up over the years in history. We've even seen some in our days. Some of us were around when Jim Jones purported himself to be some sort of Messiah. And David Koresh, we remember the David Koresh incident. He believed that he was a Messiah. There are others that we could talk about, but we're not going to talk about because they were all false messiahs. And it was proved out, just like what Gamaliel said. If you just let it ride its course, it's going to prove who they are. And they rode their course, and it was proven that they were not the Messiah. Now we see that many of both the Jews and Gentiles, though, will accept the Antichrist one day. They're going to look to him and think that he is the Messiah. Look at 2 Thessalonians, back in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 8. It says there, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Now, what does that mean to us right there? Well, we think of Paul, what Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians, and talked about how that the devil is an angel of light. I mean, this guy's going to come as an angel of light, is what he's going to come as. And he's going to be so deceptive that he's going to be able to pull the wool over folks' eyes. Look at verse 10. It says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." In other words, he's going to be able to pull the wool over some of these folks' eyes. The mass majority of folks are going to be deceived by him, and they will wind up perishing because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So we see the contrast between their authority. The Lord Jesus Christ came in the name of His Father, but the Antichrist will come in His own name, and He will be received. Then we see the contrast between their aims. The contrast between their aims. The Lord Jesus Christ, what did He come to do? He came to do the will of the Father, didn't He? That's what He said in John 6:38. He said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." And who sent Him? The Father sent Him, and He came to do the Father's will. But Antichrist will come to do His own will. Look at the book of Daniel, chapter number 11. Book of Daniel, chapter number 11, and we're going to be in the book of Daniel quite a bit here. I think you can let go of Thessalonians now, and let's come over here to Daniel and chapter number 11, and we'll look at some things here, some prophecies related to Antichrist, and some things that were said about him. And Daniel chapter number 11 and verse number 36. And this is related to the coming of the Antichrist, and it calls him the King here in verse number 36 through verse 45 is talking about Antichrist here. It says, and we're not going to read all of that right now, but we'll just take a look at what it says here in verse 36. It says, "And the King shall do according to His will." Now, His will. Self-will. Do we not live in a generation of people that are wanting to be guided by their own wills? You know, it's all about me. It's all about what I want. This is the generation that this fellow is going to be born in. And he's going to exalt himself. It says there, "And the King shall do according to His will, and He shall exalt Himself and magnify Himself." So Antichrist will come to do His own will. Now we know that the Lord Jesus Christ came to glorify the Father, didn't He? In fact, as He prayed in John 17, in verse number 4, He said He prayed to the Father and said, "I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do." And so the Lord Jesus Christ came to glorify the Father, and He did glorify the Father. He told Philip, he said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He showed, he manifested forth the Heavenly Father in his life. The Antichrist will glorify himself. Look here at Daniel 11, verse number 36 again. It says, and the king shall do according to his will, and notice this, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. And so we see he will glorify himself. Not only that, the Lord Jesus Christ, we know, came to minister to people. Aren't you glad that Jesus came to minister? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. It says in Matthew 20 and verse 28 of Jesus, says, even as the Son of Man came not to minister, to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Luke 19 and verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now look at Daniel chapter number 8 on the contrast side of this, and another verse referring to not only the Antichrist, but referring to the pre-runner, the precursor of the Antichrist, who was Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus the Fourth. This chapter speaks of both of Antiochus and also of the Antichrist. But Daniel 8 and verse number 23 and 24. Notice what it says in verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but notice this, but not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper in practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And so, Antichrist will come to destroy. Jesus came to save. Antichrist is going to come to destroy. And though this passage speaks of Antiochus Epiphanes, it does have a secondary fulfillment in the person of the Antichrist. Now we see that not only the contrast between their ancestries, their attributes, their authority and their aims, but we see fifthly the contrast between their attitudes. Between their attitudes. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came, He humbled Himself, didn't He? Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 8 tells us, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But listen, Antichrist will exalt Himself. Just as Jesus humbled Himself when He came, when Antichrist comes, Antichrist will exalt Himself. What we read there in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4 a while ago, whoso opposeth, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that word opposeth is in the present tense and implies continued, determined, planned opposition against God. Look back at Daniel 11 verse 37 again. Daniel 11 verse 37. It says here, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. He'll magnify himself. Say, Antichrist is going to exalt himself. He's going to magnify himself above all. And by the way, some have interpreted there where he would, he says that he's not going to regard the desire of women. Have said that may indicate he's going to be a homosexual. In this day in which homosexuals exalt themselves, and I don't know of anyone who exalts themselves more than the homosexual movement does right now, and people that hate God more and hate the people of God more than the homosexual movement does, it very well could be. I don't know. It says there that he's not going to regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Now, we see number six, the contrast between their acceptance. The contrast between their acceptance. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, was largely despised, wasn't he? When he came, he was rejected of men. Isaiah 53 and verse 3 predicted that would be the case. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. In John chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, it says that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So the Lord Jesus Christ was by and large rejected, except for a small handful of the disciples that believed on him and that followed him even after his resurrection. And then we see the Antichrist, though, will be largely admired. He's going to be largely admired. There in our text in Revelation chapter number 13 and verse number 4, and we see the admiration of the beast there. It says, and they worshipped the dragon. You know, when you worship somebody, that's admiration, isn't it? You know, when you come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, do you not come in admiration of what He's done for you and admiration of all He does for you? And, you know, they said they're going to worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Nobody's like him. You know, that's what those that could see the Lord Jesus Christ said, never a man spake like this man. And it's going to happen here with the Antichrist, but listen, he's going to be largely admired. It's not just going to be a small group. He will seem invincible, especially after he recovers from the deadly wound that we read about there in verse number 3. We don't know really all the details of what that's going to be, but he's going to have a mock resurrection. We know the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the grave. Well, Satan's got to have something that's going to take and mirror that and counterfeit that. And so we see here in verse number 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, this deadly wound that was healed from. They caused them to wonder and caused them to admire the beast. Now, well, I want you to see last of all tonight the contrast between their aftermaths. What's going to happen in finality? Well, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ will be exalted. Amen. He's going to be exalted. That's His end. In Philippians 2:9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, giving Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Would God that people would go ahead right now and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. But, you know, by and large, folks are not doing that, are they? The Antichrist, though, was going to be brought down into the lake of fire. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. And we see the demise of the Antichrist. Oh, he's going to be loved. He's going to be admired. He's going to be great. He's going to be powerful in the eyes of the world. But listen, he's going to be brought down into the sides of the pit. He's going to be brought down in Revelation chapter 20. I'm sorry, Revelation chapter number 20. I've got it right. I had 19:20. I've got it right. I was looking at the wrong place. Chapter 19, verse number 20. That's where we want to be at. Now the beast was taken with him, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both, talking about the beast and the false prophet both, that we've not taken a look at the false prophet yet, but these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now listen, when the devil is cast in there in chapter number 20 and verse number 10, look at chapter 20 and verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. They're still there. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, and the devil's going to be cast in there after them. 1,000 years after they're cast in, he's going to be cast in, and they're going to be there, and they're going to suffer for all eternity. My, what a contrast we've seen between the Lord Jesus Christ and the coming Antichrist. You know, I wasn't there when Christ walked the earth some 2,000 years ago, but I believe all that's revealed about Him in the Word of God. And praise God, I won't be there when Antichrist is revealed and it takes control and wreaks havoc on the earth. I believe all that the Bible says about him. It's not going to be a pretty picture, is it? It's going to be a rough time to be living on the face of the earth. And I wonder this evening, are you ready for the rapture? If the rapture were to happen tonight, Would you see Christ or would you stay with the Antichrist? Are you ready to see Christ? You know, you may go to be with Him, but are you ready to see Him? Are you magnifying Him with your life? Are you worshiping Him as you should? But listen, we need to be concerned about those that are around us, our family, our friends, co-workers, neighbors, all of those who are living during this time and have a possibility of being left behind if the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes us home to be with Him. They'll be left behind to endure this great deceiver. And you wouldn't want that for anybody that you know and love. I know you wouldn't. Let's get busy regarding the things of the Lord and regarding the great commission that He's given to us. Let's see how many folks that we can get to come along with us and take part in the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You tonight for the truths that are revealed in Scripture. And Lord, we've seen this one, the Antichrist. And Lord, we're glad that we're not going to have to deal with him. Those of us that know You, we're glad that we're not going to be a part of those that are going to be deceived by him. We're glad that we're not going to be, Lord, his targets. But there are going to be some that are going to be his targets that possibly are alive right now. Lord, we don't know when Your coming is. And any more than Paul knew when it was, we know that it's imminent. It can happen at any time. But as we see the things go on and happen in this world, we see the things that are pointing toward folks being molded into the image of a race of people that are going to follow after someone such as this. People are looking for a man who will take the world and bring about a peace in the world, even though it's going to be a false peace for a little while. And he's going to be looking for someone who is really a Messiah, so to speak. But the Messiah has already come. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that. We believe that. And Lord, we have believed that. And we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not, our trust is not in vain. We know that that is true. But these folks that place their trust in this Antichrist, it's going to be a terrible time for them. And Lord, they'll be cast in the lake of fire with him, those that believe him. Lord, help us to be busy about your work. If there's one here that's not sure about their salvation, Lord, help them to get sure. We need to be sure about these things, Lord, that we might not get caught up in the wrong side of these end times that we're talking about. Lord, I thank you that we're on, those of us that are on the Lord Jesus Christ's side are on the right side. And God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Lord, thank you for delivering us from the wrath that's to come. And God, help us to be busy about trying to help deliver others from the wrath to come by sharing the gospel with them. Help us with these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please.